Good morning. What a great day for the food drive. When our text is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And we are providing food, so we appreciate those of you who are bringing food in. I was informed this morning by one of our members that today is World Communion Day. And we made a change in our schedule a couple weeks ago when we knew that the men's retreat was going to be this weekend. And a lot of our men were going to be away, that we would move communion 1 week. So we're sadly missing World Communion Day as observing. But we'll observe in our hearts that around the world today, that's being remembered. And we'll have communion together next Sunday as part of our regular schedule. If you have your Bible, let's open together to the book of Matthew chapter 5, in which we continue our study through the Beatitudes, this series through the statements of Jesus in his first sermon. A lot of our men are still up in Estes Park on the retreat. What a great time that was for Friday and Saturday, sleeping in bunk beds with snoring men from Calvary was a rich and wonderful experience, unforgettable. I actually had a sleep talker in my room that woke me up a couple times and thought I was in a conversation with someone. I woke up saying, "Here I am, Lord," and it was only someone in the bed next, across the room. So it was a great time, though. The Lord worked in our time together. Men's retreat was a rich experience. I hope you'll make that part of your planning, gentlemen, for the next time we do that together. It was a rich and wonderful time. But today, we're in the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Again, a bit of a paradox that the hungry are the happy. Is that true for you? Are you a happy person when you're hungry? Happy are the hungry. I have the ability to go a couple days without food. It's something that I've developed over time by part of my training in earlier days. I don't have to eat for a couple days. And sometimes I do it for spiritual purposes. Other times I do it just for discipline. Not everybody who lives near me has that ability to go without food. In fact, there are some people that I know who, if they don't have enough nutrition, get edgy. And maybe you're like that too. I wanted to think about what would happen if I didn't have spiritual nourishment for my life. What would I be like? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Remember, this is Jesus' statement in the opening. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. I think those go together. Blessed are the poor in spirit who mourn over their sin. Blessed are the meek who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, I think there's some connection between those, that the poor in spirit, who know they come to God with nothing in their hands, mourn over what they do bring, and that is their sinfulness. And blessed are the meek who come to God knowing that they are humble and gentle and empty, and that humility leads them to a hunger for God in a more positive sense, that I long to be filled and nourished and satisfied with Him. Today we're going to examine what it is that satisfies the human soul. It is only the righteousness of God. Nothing else in your life will bring a satisfaction to the core of your being, though you may try. And through the centuries, people have tried to satisfy the longings of their soul with other things. We're going to look at a couple examples in the scriptures this morning. Happy are the hungry. We want to cultivate an appetite for the righteousness of God. I want you to consider this morning, though, what suppresses your appetite. In dieting trends, you can take a pill that will suppress your appetite so that you don't want to eat. I think there are certain things that you can do in your life that will suppress your appetite for God. You should consider what some of those might be. What are the things in your world that suppress your hunger and thirst for righteousness? What is it in your life that makes you not so inclined to draw near to God, to listen to His Word, to be obedient to Him in your life? What suppresses your longing for Him? I think there's a little device in many of our homes that is a major culprit. It's got a lot of buttons on it, and it's usually on the couch. And this little device that we hold in one hand and control the world with is probably one of the most dominant culprits for suppressing our appetite for God and His righteousness. Would you agree? It turns on that square box across the room, and it fills our mind, and it numbs our senses, and it dulls out, I think, for many of us, the longing for God. But perhaps you can consider, what are the things in your world, maybe it's the pace of your life, or maybe it's the worry of your life, that deadens your longing to be satisfied with the righteousness and the seeking after God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Let's go through a little tour in the Bible. I'm going to ask you to follow me to Mark chapter 4, turning to the right a bit in your scriptures, and we'll see what Jesus says about this issue of hunger and satisfaction and what happens in our life. Mark chapter 4, verse 18, we break into a familiar parable for some of us, perhaps, of Jesus describing what happens when the Word of God is communicated and preached. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus describes a scenario which many of us have experienced that explains why we are not inclined to listen and receive the preaching of the Word of God. Verse 18. Others are the ones on whom the seed, the Word of God, was sown among the thorns. And these are the ones who heard the Word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things, sort of a general statement, the desires for other things, enters in and chokes out the Word so that the Word becomes unfruitful. We get a glimpse of this analysis of Jesus of one of the reasons why some people can come to church and sit in church and listen to a sermon or hear the Word of God preached and not absorb a single thing in it. And the reason is because when the Word is preached, there are other factors at work in our hearts, particularly in our affections and in our value systems, and they're described in verse 19, worry, riches, and the desire for other things generally, which suppress our ability to hear the Word, to love the Word, and to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so in the Scriptures, there are many of these kind of examples. So I'm going to give you at least two, three if we have time. But let's continue on to the right in your Bible, to the book of Luke. And we'll look at one of them in Luke chapter 12. What is the reason that some aren't hungry? Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Here Jesus is telling a parable, and it begins in verse 16, though the setting is verse 13, that someone comes and asks him a question to get involved in his financial planning for the future and in his relationships with his family, and Jesus steps back and isn't going to get involved in that, and then tells us a parable in verse 16. He told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive. And the rich man began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build larger barns. And then I'll store all my grain and all my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What does that sound like to you? It is the plan for American retirement. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. Is this convicting? That here is a man looking down the road to his future and says, I have a lot, but I could have more. Here's what I'll do. And he sets out a plan, the end of which is his scenario for end of life ease. Careful. What does God say to that? God says to him, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. Now, who alone would you prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich toward God. Okay. It is not necessarily an indictment about being rich or planning future, but the disqualifier is this last phrase. You are rich toward yourself, but not rich toward God. What is suppressing in this farmer a longing and a love for God? All he can see in his view is himself, his future, his ease. We could put it in American language, his sense of ease in retirement. That's what's on his mind. And he is not rich toward God. Careful. Let's be careful about the way we think about our future. Because it is our view of future that can actually suppress our longing for God and our love for His righteousness that would leave us not to be satisfied in Him, but in our retirement to be nervous about whether or not we're going to have enough. Because what's first is, are we going to have enough so that we could eat, drink, and be merry? Are you happy to hear this? Does it lands with a little conviction to us, because again, as we've said in the past, the American lifestyle and all of the American value systems are not strictly biblical values. Right? You should say amen to that. We really should. A biblical value has God first. Not rich toward God. Happy are those who hunger for righteousness. They'll be satisfied. They'll be satisfied. Let's look at another one. Keep going right. We've now been in Matthew, Mark, Luke, so let's go to John. In John chapter 4, and here in the teachings of Jesus, we'll land again on another illustration for us about the reality that no pleasure or person was ever intended to bring satisfaction to our soul and life. It was true of the farmer who was going to build his barns. And here we land on an encounter of Jesus with a woman at the well. Verse 7 says, there came a woman from Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. And therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you? Who gave us this well and drank of it himself and all his sons and even his cattle? And Jesus answered and said, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And the woman said, give me this water so that I'll never be thirsty again, nor have to come all the way to draw water. And so he's talking spiritual, she's talking H2O. And they're missing a little bit here, but he's offering something that will satisfy her at the deepest and most core level of her soul. You will never thirst again if you drink of the water that I will give you. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be satisfied. And what Jesus is offering to her is a soul satisfaction in the water that comes out of the soul of a person who's right with God, who loves the righteousness of God, who is right with God. And she's missing it. Why is she missing it? Well, Jesus puts his finger on it in the next verse. Would you go get your husband? I don't have a husband. I know you don't. You've had five. And the man you're living with now is not your husband. What glimpse can you get at this person, this woman, who has been in five marriages and now another relationship, longing for satisfaction? It's easy to stand today and say, well, could we project on her life some thoughts or some intentions? Could it be possible that she could be the picture of someone who's trying to be satisfied in her life through relationship after relationship after relationship, and she's empty still, longing to be satisfied? She's at least an illustration of how some of us go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, longing to be satisfied. And here is the living water saying, drink of me and you'll be satisfied. Whoever drinks of the water that I give shall never thirst again, verse 14 says. No person, no pleasure, no life experience was ever meant to satisfy us. All of the scriptures give us these illustrations. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 is another of a young man who went far away to seek pleasure and to spend his income and to live riotously in his life. And then at the end of his senses, while he was eating the husks of throwaway corn with pigs, he said to himself, I could eat better if I went to my father. I am not satisfied here. And he goes to his father, and there he finds satisfaction. And he is the picture of some of us who have turned away from God and gone to the foreign country, and we've spent all of our life and we've wasted our energy. And then we come to our senses by the grace of God and say, only in you, God. Hey, here are three glimpses for us of where many try to satisfy their life. And then the words of Jesus come dripping into our soul. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they will be satisfied. I wonder if you've had enough longing for that which cannot satisfy, of gorging yourselves on things that will never really satisfy the longing in your soul. Only the righteousness of God was meant to ultimately satisfy us. You're here in John. Look at chapter 6, verse 35 with me. Again, listen to the words of Jesus beautifully stated for us. John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Jesus is offering himself as the one who will satisfy the soul of hunger and thirsting. Come to me. Again, in chapter 7, verse 37, he says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his innermost being streams of living water will flow. And in this way, Jesus was declaring that he himself is the source of life and satisfaction, and the meeting of our soul with him will bring the only kind of contentment and satisfaction. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They will be satisfied. That's a relationship with Jesus. And here in the Beatitudes, what Jesus is describing is coming to him and being nourished in a relationship with Christ, that the most important appetite of our life is loving Christ, knowing Christ, and dispatching all other hungers for this supreme longing. Lord, I want you. I want your righteousness in my life. So that we could say with the psalmist, Psalm 42. Some of you know that. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. That's what I want more than anything. To be totally thirsty for God. I'll tell you. Stay thirsty, my friend. Be thirsty for God. Because that will quench and satisfy the longing of your soul. So let's do a little assessment as a congregation. And let's kind of move away from this morning with an action plan. What would be the way in which we could listen to the words of Jesus that true satisfaction comes from a hunger for God? Let me suggest three things for us this morning. Number one, for the remainder of this year, work hard to identify and eradicate one appetite suppressant in your world. You know what I mean by that. What is it in your life today that most deters you from pursuing God in a deeper relationship? Is it the TV? Is it your frenetic pace of life? Is it the deceitfulness of riches? Is it a quest for relationship after relationship? Is it a desire for pleasure? Is it simply a schedule that you can't keep? Is it a lack of discipline? What is it in your frame of reference that's keeping you from a hunger and thirst for righteousness that satisfies? And then work on it. Identify what that is and say, okay, I'm going to remove that from my life. And I'm going to reduce it in the way I think about my spiritual life. Number two, simply return to the source of greatest spiritual nourishment for your life. Take a quick assessment of the way in which you are being nourished in the pursuit of righteousness. Could you say with Jeremiah, your word I ate and it was pleasant to me. It was like honey. It was sweet to me. Could you look at your schedule, your personal discipline, and say, I'm in the word every day? If you're going to dispatch with an appetite suppressant, how do you cultivate your appetite for the things of God? Why don't you develop a reading plan? Why don't you develop some way in your life that you could say, the more you feed on the word, the more you want. And here's the paradox, that as you nourish yourself in the scriptures, what ends up happening is you're not gorged. You're simply saying, could I get more? I mean, think about yourself at Thanksgiving or some other time where we enjoy a banquet feast and we sit at the table and we sort of, you know, initially can't get enough. What a great day that is. For about 35 minutes. And then we push away from the table and we say, oh, why did I do that? And what we end up feeling is not completely satisfied, but maybe painfully gorged because we've overdone it. Here's the paradox of the scriptures. you stay hungry for the Word and you keep eating the Word of God, and you the more you eat, the more you want. The more you develop an appetite for the things of God, the more you say, I want more of that. And I love to be nourished on the things of God. And it's not like I say, oh, I just couldn't eat another thing. It's like, I mean, it has all of the satisfaction of being gorged in the Scriptures without all the bloating. Okay? I mean, you don't ever feel like I couldn't have more. It's like, oh, I could have more of that. The action plan is, what's deterring? And then how can I stay after it? And thirdly, I would say this. Could I remind you that this little glimpse of the kingdom that Jesus is preaching, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, they shall be satisfied, is another reminder of the kingdom already being here, but not yet fulfilled. That I think that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, when we long after Christ and we're nourished in His Word and we pursue His righteousness, there is a soul satisfaction that nothing else in life can bring. Yet, I would encourage you to think of the day in which we will be with Him and we will sit down at a table with our Lord and we will be eternally nourished. The glimpse in the Scriptures are that at the end of the age, we will sit down at a banquet table and be satiated around a table with Christ, having the fullest experience of God and His righteousness and a satisfaction in every way. Do you remember what Mary said at the Christmas story? Mary, the Magnificent. The song, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit exalts in God my Savior. And then a little bit later down in that great Christmas song, she says, He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. But the hungry He has filled with good things. Isaiah 25 tells us that the Lord of hosts at the end of the age in the kingdom to come will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples. A banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow, and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, He will swallow up the covering which is over all the peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all the nations. And the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces and remove the reproach from His people. The Lord has spoken it. Behold, this is our God for whom we have waited, that He might save us. This is the Lord on whom we have waited. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. And there is this picture of the end of the age of God's people being gathered together to be fully satisfied. When Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, it was an already and a not yet. And I encourage you that the best is yet to come. Don't be deceived into longing for things that cannot satisfy. Listen to the words of Jesus. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There is satisfaction. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that You will steer our lives away from all those empty promises of things which cannot satisfy, and that You will lead us into what instead is the only satisfying promise, the righteousness of God, being right with You. And I pray that You'll wean us off of the wrong diet and bring us to Yourself. This righteousness which comes from believing in Jesus and following Jesus, being nourished in Your Word. May this be our experience even today. I pray for any who are here in this room or here in the gathering whose lives are marked by a hunger, by an emptiness, by a regret for searching after all those things which cannot satisfy. Today we come to you, Lord Jesus. We turn to you. We believe in you. We trust in you. Your righteousness, which can forgive us of our sins and lead us into life with God. And so I pray that will happen for us this very day. That the happiness of God will be ours in a satisfaction that comes from knowing Christ and living with Him. Increase our faith that this will be our pursuit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.